In this episode of The Leadersmith, I'm going to be talking about predictable stages that a society goes through when it's in crisis, and I'm going to be talking about when it's time to panic. I am not Alex Jones, but welcome to The Leadersmith.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, one management professor claims that he can help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. You are listening to The Leadersmith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
Okay, so welcome to The Leadersmith podcast. This is episode 12. I'm talking about how society moves through predictable stages of a crisis. So as things happen, there are certain predictable steps. And depending on a crisis, the steps may vary. So step 5 may be step 6, or step 6 may be step 7, depending on the crisis. But you know when you're in trouble when you get to the last two steps. So this is basically how it works. First, there is a problem that exists. Okay, we need to have a problem. The coronavirus was at one point just a problem in the, you know, on the back of somebody's radar. We weren't really thinking about anything. I remember when it was a problem over in China, and the Chinese government's locking it down. Good, so it won't get out. But I really wasn't paying much attention to it, as it was just a problem. The news began to pay attention to that. Stage 2, as the news started to focus on it, we started to think more about it. In the news, they say if it bleeds, it leads. And so newsmen bring us lots of bad news. But at that point, our filter is not telling us this is really an urgent thing until we start to see other signs, like stage 3. So the stock market drops. The stock market is actually a good predictor of what's going on, because they're pricing in problems that are going to happen in the future. So prediction markets, for example, are doing the same thing. And prediction markets are essentially people putting up, it's almost like betting, people putting up money on what's going to happen. And they're far more accurate in some cases than political polls. So when the stock market drops, then we start going, ooh, maybe the news is right. So that's number 3. Now, once you start to get to number 4, things start to speed up. And usually it ends at now 4 or 5. But 4 is there's a run on emergency supplies at the store. Now, this happens all the time. I live in South Carolina. And when we're about to hit a natural disaster like a hurricane, there's a run on emergency supplies. And, you know, it felt very much like that in March, except that there was no storm to tell us that things had changed. You know, the storm comes and goes, and then everything goes back to the normal rhythm of life. That didn't happen. Number 5, the Fed cuts interest rates. So when the Fed cuts interest rates, this is both good and bad. It's mostly bad, but it's good in a short-term sense, in the sense of accelerating the economy. It's bad with all the long-term consequences. But when the Fed starts doing this, beware. Okay, this is number 5. Number 6, if Congress starts to pass a stimulus package, you know something has gotten very bad, because Congress is, every politician wants to stay in power. And so if they can't actually solve the problem, they'll do the next best thing and throw money at it. And when Congress starts doing that, then we know that we're going to have a significant problem. Now, number 7 is one of those things that is usually a small thing for acute experiences. So number 7, when schools close, that's a sign. But when schools close for a snow day, that's not a big thing. We factor that into our calendar. Or hurricane day in the southeast, we get those kind of things a lot, more than snow days, actually. But when they close for an extended period of time, number 7, got to beware. Schools are closed for an extended period of time. Number 8, you don't see this very often. You only saw this shortly after 9/11. Public events are canceled. And other than 9/11, I don't remember when public events have been canceled, but this is a big, big sign. So it's rare, and coronavirus shows just how seriously we're taking this with the quarantine when public events, sporting events, and major events start being canceled. It's draconian. It was meant to flatten the curve. It probably was necessary. But when that starts happening, things are getting hot. Okay, number 9, the Fed cuts interest rates to 0. And we're not just talking about interest rate reduction Moving a few points down, we're talking about dropping it. And the only few times that we've seen things like this have been after 9/11 and after the crash in order to recover. When the Fed cuts interest rates to zero, that's a very, very bad sign for the health of society. It's also a great time to go buy a car. Okay, number 10, Waffle House closes. Now, you think I'm making this up and I'm just being funny. Ha, 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 Waffle House closes. No, but FEMA actually refers to Waffle Houses to look at major national disasters and looks at it and says, wait a minute, how many Waffle Houses are closed? It's called the Waffle House Index or Waffle House Matrix. And I'm not making it up. The New York Times quotes the FEMA director. It's saying, look, it's shorthand for us to get in there and quickly get a snapshot. Mr. Fugate said Friday in an interview at FEMA headquarters in Washington, is the Waffle House open? Is everything normal there? Waffle House has a very simple operational philosophy. Get open. They never close. They run 24 hours a day, he said. They have a corporate philosophy that if there's a hurricane or a storm, they try to get their stores open. It doesn't matter if they don't have power, it doesn't matter if they don't have gas. They have procedures that they can get a generator in there. They'll get going. They'll make coffee with bottled water. Okay, so if Waffle Houses start to close, that is a very bad sign. Now, Waffle Houses, that was so far the most chilling sign to me. And so Waffle Houses close. Mercifully, most of them are back up. Not that because I want to eat there, but because that's a sign that things have gone wrong. And then finally, number 11, the last one, when politicians are united. So we talk about all the time how, you know, politicians snipe at each other. I really wish they wouldn't do this. Can't they all just get along? No, they can't get along, and not unless something is so overwhelming that they feel so threatened that they feel a need to circle the wagons. Perhaps the scariest moment in my living memory was on 9/11. Congressmen met on the Capitol steps after the attack, and they were saying a few somber words, and then they were about to break up, and then they spontaneously broke into God Bless America. You never see that kind of display of unity. I'm going to play that here for you. Notice that there's, after Dennis Hassert, the Speaker of the House, speaks, there's a moment of silence. We're going to stay through the moment of silence. It's about 20 seconds. And then you'll see or hear them starting to walk away and then spontaneously burst into God Bless America. Listen.
We know as a nation, as we said, our thoughts and prayers are with those families and those injured and those who are the casualties of today's attack. We also remember those thousands of people who are rescue workers. We ask now that we all bow our heads in a moment of silence and remembrance. Thank you.
You okay?
Somber times in our nation's history. Again, this was perhaps the scariest moment in my lifetime, 9/11, and then watching the actions of our politicians when they've circled the wagons, joined hands, and saying God Bless America together on the steps. They're not sniping at each other. That is when you need to panic. But we're not there yet. We're not to that place. In fact, we're starting to come out of the quarantine, the coronavirus pandemic. we're not out of the woods by any long shot, but we're starting to come out of that. The good news is our politicians have signaled to us that by their petulant behavior that this is not as bad as it could be. Not time to panic. Our quotation for contemplation comes from George Washington, who said, "Yes." Look, I'm sure he said yes somewhere along the way. I mean, I don't know for a fact, but maybe he said yay or verily or something along those lines. But I'm pretty sure he said yes. I'm going with it anyway.